Christmas is less than a week out, Rogue One is in theaters, and the Packers can play 5 of 8 quarters very well. Christmas season is upon us. I'm Andy Smith, the Packer noob.
I'm Jake Sparker, the Packer veteran, also a little sick, so please excuse my voice or lack thereof. Andy, in the third quarter, it looked like we had this game under control. Kind of let it slide a little bit. Bears got back into it. Like I said, don't take it for granted. They came back, but at the end of the day, Packers get the win.
I can tell you, I was watching this game 3 blocks from Soldier Field. I was downtown on that Sunday afternoon. So I came in for halftime, watched the third quarter. It was primarily Packer fans in this bar. A few Bears fans, primarily Packer fans. Very excited. A lot of Bear fans were very upset, particularly the guy next to me. he was a good sport about it. Then it was funny in the fourth quarter because the bar suddenly became really, really packed. And what I realized was eventually, because it was a lot of Bear fans, it was Bear fans from the game who had left early. But then hearing that things had turned came in. So by the end of the game, we were packed in there like sardines. And wow. A ton of Bear fans were freezing cold, getting super pumped, and then just having their hearts beautifully broken at the end of the game. But it was a fun atmosphere to be in.
Yeah, that's like fun. I was actually among other Packer fans. I was at a friend's house in Germantown, Wisconsin, which is about an hour north of where I live. And we were pretty confident after that, you know, last touchdown that we scored to go up by 17, and then, you know, kind of got more nervous as the game got closer and closer. And then when they got tied up, we were like, oh no, you know. And especially at that point, knowing that both the Lions and Vikings had lost, we knew we needed to win this game to capitalize on that. And luckily, Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson and Mason Crosby bailed us out at the end. So,
man, when I thought they were letting that slide, I was fuming. I could not believe, with Minnesota getting crushed, Detroit finally not pulling off a fourth quarter comeback, that we would not win this game. Was I just couldn't fathom how much we would have thrown away our shot there.
Right.
Hamilton pun, purposeful there. I do want to say though, it was so cold in Chicago. I just read a review that the average temperature, or an article, the average temperature on Mars currently is -2 degrees Fahrenheit. In Chicago yesterday and this morning, where I live, it was at the warmest location, -4. Wind chill had us at -20 degrees. It was so cold.
Yeah, that's pretty cold out there. It was pretty cold here yesterday, too. I had to snowblow the driveway before I left to go to the party yesterday. And when I was doing that, it was like -2 degrees with a wind chill. It said that the real feel was like -10. And yeah, this morning it was -4 when I woke up, and they said the real feel was like -20. So it's still very cold.
That said, I will never forgive Devontae Adams for dropping 2 touchdown passes, no matter how cold it is, especially because he was on my fantasy roster in my fantasy football semifinal game against my sister that I have now lost because of Devontae Adams.
So you would
have... Very bitter.
You would have won if he would have caught one of those, even one of those 2?
Hands down. I mean, if he would have won 2, I would have crushed it. If he had gotten 1, it would have been close. I'm not sure 100% I would have won, but I definitely would not have lost. As I found out I did last night, as Ezekiel Elliott had a great game. Anyway, we shouldn't talk too much about that, because right. This is not a time for bitterness. This is a time for joy. Fourth game in a row, but a weird kind of mixed bag. First half was not really that impressive. It felt like the cold was obviously playing a big factor. Third quarter, huge high, looked great. Defense played great. Offense played great. Turnovers abounded, even from that first play, that great Julius Peppers strip and getting it himself. Fantastic. And then the fourth quarter, just the falling apart, and are saved by, a blown coverage by one Bear cornerback. It was a weird game, Jake.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, you can definitely see the weather affected the game. Like, I don't know how much it affected Devontae Adams, but I imagine that had something to do with his, you know, drop passes. it's not like he's the most sure-handed guy, you know, anyway, but has been more recently. So that was kind of a surprise to see that. Yeah, and again, you know, the defense, you know, allowed a lot of big plays through the air. Jordan Howard had a pretty good game on the ground when all was said and done, 17 carries for 90 yards, so didn't really, you know, contain him the way that the Packers have contained most running backs in the season. with the exception of a few, like the aforementioned Ezekiel Elliott. sorry, I keep opening your fantasy wounds. I apologize. But offensively, you know, the Packers, I mean, you know, on both sides of the ball, it wasn't the smoothest at times, but, you know, at the end of the day, they did enough to win. You know, Nelson had a big game. I mean, it helps when you have a 60-yard catch, but he had 7 catches for 124 yards. Jared Cook had 6 catches for 85 yards, including 2 first down catches on third down that were first downs on the first drive, so I thought that was pretty crucial. And, of course, the guy we have to talk about on the offensive side is Ty Montgomery, and holy crap, I don't know if he was just waiting to officially be, you know, named as a running back by McCarthy or what, but, you know, now that he's officially a running back, he broke out in a big way yesterday.
I couldn't believe the stats that I saw. I came in at halftime and saw that huge first half he had. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the key thing or the most interesting stat was I saw, I can't remember who, I think it was ESPN maybe posted or I saw it on the Packers website, because he had 16 carries for 162 yards. That's a, you know, 10.2 yard average and per carry, of course. And the most mind-blowing stat I saw was that apparently only 6 of those yards that he got, it was either 6 or 8, it was less than 10. Less than 10 of those yards he got came before contact. Everything else was gained after initial contact, which, so he was, and you look at his big runs yesterday. I mean, that the 61-yard run he had, he probably made 4 or 5 people miss their tackle or, you know, broke their tackle with a spin move or a stiff arm or a juke. I mean, it was fun to watch seeing him.
It was great. I think Lil Wayne said it best. This is a quote. I may very well name my next kid or album Ty Montgomery, girl or boy.
He actually said that, huh?
That is a real tweet from Lil Wayne. Wow. And I think Ty Montgomery earned it. The amazing thing about it is when you think of a wide receiver converted to running back, when you think of the difference of those two positions, you think the wide receiver has more quickness, they have more overall speed, but what they lose is the power and the strength that you need for a running back. But Ty Montgomery's running style, especially yesterday, showed that he has that power and that strength. Like you were saying, he was breaking tackles left and right. He not only was quick, he showed some of those heightened abilities to be quick, make very quick cuts at the line of scrimmage and get through gaps that weren't supposed to be there. He showed that skill, but also he showed those running back skills that you don't expect when you have a wide receiver. So like, for example, when Cobb was in the backfield for a couple of games, he didn't have that same drive. He didn't get the yards after first touch or yards after an attempted tackle. But Ty Montgomery was not that. He's a big, strong dude. And honestly, I never really recognized that until this game. And I think you tweeted out during the game, Ty Montgomery can be the running back as long as he wants now. And I agree, even as far as maybe letting Eddie Lacy go or having a hard stance about how much we're going to pay him or let him go elsewhere, Ty Montgomery has really electrified the backfield and the running game of the Packers.
He certainly has. And yeah, this is kind of goes back to what we talked about last week. You know, he did play, or something that I brought up is that he did play running back when he first started playing football, but then changed to receiver because his high school, you know, was more of a passing offense. It didn't plan to run the ball very much. And he played a little bit at Stanford, but not too much. So, you know, he has those foundational skills, and obviously he showed those yesterday. And the thing about it is, he is a receiver, but, you know, he's 6 feet tall and he's 220 pounds, which is pretty big for a receiver. And, you know, when the Packers drafted him, everybody was saying, oh, he's like Randall Cobb, but bigger. And he definitely also showed that yesterday. Yeah, breaking tackles and, you know, making quick cuts at the line, like you said.
And that's just pretty big for a running back, too. Running backs these days, modern running backs, normally are pretty shorter, squat, really built, you know, kind of like a Ray Rice, Mark Ingram type of body type.
Right, yeah, usually they go into the sub 6 foot category, which actually, you know, this is kind of a tangent, but the Raiders running back, Latavius Murray, is actually 6'3", and I was like, oh, wow, that's huge for a running back. But yeah, so I think really Ty Montgomery is the perfect, you know, if he's going to be playing both, or even, you know, be playing mostly running back, to be 6 foot and 220, I mean, that's a big dude coming at you in the hole who can also run. And, you know, it also has some shiftiness to him. So, yeah, I think watching him break out yesterday was a lot of fun. And hopefully he can keep this going, because if we can actually have some semblance of a running game, or even, I mean, that's more in sub-sublet. So we can have a, you know, an explosive running game like we did yesterday. You know, the Packers could go, you know, if they get in the playoffs, I think they could go far as long as that continues. So,
you know who I kept thinking of that Montgomery looks like? I want to know your thought of this, but I really thought there was one particular run with his juking style. Reminds me a lot, actually, of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, there was one run in particular. I thought that myself, like the old Adrian Peterson that we haven't seen this year so far. Of course, he hasn't played most of the season, only two games, well, three games, including yesterday. Because I remember when AP went into his prime and, you know, watching him play the Packers two times a year, and he was the kind of running back where as soon as he got the ball, you know, you kind of like hold your breath until he was on the ground and the whistle was blown. Because even if he would go into a pile of guys, you know, if you couldn't see him, you know, you're like, he's not down. Like, you know, you couldn't, you know, start breathing until you could confirm that he was, in fact, you know, tackled. And he had Montgomery had a lot of runs yesterday where I felt the same way. Like, you know, you thought he was going to be down and he kept churning for, you know, extra yards. And a lot of times he got way more yards than I thought he was going to based on the initial contact. So, I'd say it's a fair comparison. You know, I mean, sure, it was just one game, but boy, you know, what a game for Ty Montgomery.
Great game. Let's talk a little past just the running game, the passing game. Again, I think this is kind of a mixed bag. I mean, we obviously, a big weapon, which is Aaron Rodgers' legs and mobility, was lost in this game, and it was very noticeable a couple of times. Specifically, I think, on that first drive after the fumble in the second half, where Aaron, any other week, if he's 100%, he's going to run that in for a touchdown, but he gets stopped. I think 2 yards shy, something like that, and they're forced to do a field goal, which obviously came into play later on in the game. But that was just kind of encapsulates something that happened the whole game, which is without mobility, you know, the wide receiver, without Aaron Rodgers' mobility, the wide receivers still weren't getting open. The offensive line did a great job giving Rodgers time. I was wondering, what do you think as far as, you mentioned this during the game, do you want the offense to call more quick passes, or do you think that we still need to get on these wide receivers for not getting open in those longer down the field sequences, particularly Jordy Nelson, who until that final play didn't seem to show up to this game?
Yeah. It is, because I did tweet out that the Packers should go back to the quick pass game because they kept trying to throw shots down the field. And there are a couple times that Davante Adams was open and Rodgers, you know, overthrew him or, you know, kind of was like, I don't know if he was disguising like he was throwing the ball away, but he was trying to make it look like they had a chance downfield, because there's one time Adams was double covered. Still, it's like he, you know, if Rodgers, you know, wanted to, he could have fit it in there. But, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, the Packers, they gave up 3 sacks yesterday. A lot of that, actually 4 sacks, excuse me. And a lot, it seemed like a lot of those were sacks that Rodgers, if fully healthy, could have escaped from. And you're absolutely right on that touchdown run that didn't happen. I think if Rodgers is 100%, he scores that no problem.
We've seen it 100 times. He walked into the end zone.
Yep. And on that first drive, actually, there was a play. It was a third down where he actually did juke somebody who came free and then hit Cook for a first down. And I think we kind of thought, oh, well, that's, you know, that's good. At least he still has his mobility. But it looked like it got worse as the game went on. I don't know if it, probably the cold, you know, had something to do with that. I mean, I think we do have to get on the receivers for not getting open, because, I mean, they were getting open early and often pretty much all game last week. At least a little bit. But I think, you know, I think they would have called more of the quick slants or the quick outs. That might have helped, you know, Rodgers not have to try to dance back in the pocket for so long. And maybe they wouldn't have given up 4 sacks, which I think might be their season high in terms of allowing for sacks in one game this year. Yeah.
But that shouldn't reflect, I think, negatively on the line. I mean, I think overall they did a great job in this game. There was just, because of that lack of mobility or wide receivers not getting open, whatever you want to pin it to, you know, there's only so long you can block defensive ends in the National Football League.
That's true. And yeah, the line, by and large, this season has been fantastic. I mean, even without, you know, Josh Sitton, who was playing for the other team yesterday, even with Lane Taylor, who has, you know, no one's talking about him, which I think for an offensive lineman, that's good. You know, usually people are talking about you just because you're, you know, allowing people to run right past you and sack the quarterback. So, yeah, we can't blame the line too much for that. It is different, though, when, you know, they're used to Rodgers being able to make you know, make up for some of their mistakes by dodging people. Whereas that didn't happen as much yesterday, but I guess it's part of the receivers. You know, maybe we were trying to take too many shots down the field. Again, there were some shots that were open that Rodgers just missed. I don't know if like he wasn't able to fully step into some throws because of his legs. That definitely could be a factor. But yeah, something will you know, with the legs injuries and the cold weather, which will be a factor the next week when we go back home to Lambeau. We might not be as cold. I think the forecast is supposed to be actually in the high 20s, low 30s, which compared to, you know, 2 below 0, that's balmy. So it might be much warmer on next Sunday at Lambeau. But yeah, I think, you know, maybe we need to do more quick passing, and, you know, I'm sure the receivers could have gotten more open, but at the end of the day, they still did, the passing game still did enough, and Packers were able to escape, you might say, with a victory. So,
yeah, speaking of passing game is enough, let's talk about that final play. What happened? Break it down for us. I mean, from my perspective, it just looks like an unforgivable mistake, both by the safety and the cornerback for the Bears. Jordy, you know, he's basically just running straight across the middle there. What are your thoughts on that final play?
Yeah, well, I've watched the replay of it a couple times now, and the really Jordy, he does sort of a double move. I mean, the classic double move is you fake like you're doing an out pattern, and then you cut back and do a post. And Jordy didn't really even do a full fake like he was running it out. He basically did, like, he cut towards the sideline slightly, and I guess it got the quarterback to flip his hips enough where when Jordy cut back to the inside, he could just start sprinting, and the cornerback had to turn around and couldn't keep up with him because he's not as fast as Jordy is, or, you know, he didn't have the momentum that Jordy did at that point. I think the biggest problem was with the safety on that play, because he was still ahead of Jordy when he made his cut, and basically the safety decided to sit down on, I guess there must have been a receiver running underneath, couldn't quite tell from the camera angle that I saw. Because the safety did not run with Jordy, he instead decided to sit down on the shorter route, which, you know, was 3rd and 11, and, you know, you're thinking, well, okay, he's trying to prevent the first down, but, yeah, so he sits down on the inside route, Jordy gets past the cornerback, Rodgers lays it up there, and, Nelson goes and runs under it, makes a great catch, and, which leads to the game-winning field goal. I was actually worried when they caught it, I was like, well, there's no timeouts, but there's 26 seconds left, I'm like, but Rodgers has to hobble, you know, all the way upfield to spike the ball. It was a little concerning there at the end, but they got it done. So,
interesting fact that I heard. I'll say it again, getting back to how cold this was. When I left the bar, I didn't make it all the way back to my car. I had to stop at a Subway midway through because it was so cold. I had to warm up again. And they had the Bear after or post game on in the background. An interesting stat earlier on in the week, or excuse me, the season, we had something like, I think, the most passing yards in the game against the Bears in like 50 years in week 2 when we played them. And now in this game, this past game, we had, I think, the most running yards in a game against the Bears at Soldier Field ever. Those facts might not be exactly, it's something along those lines where 1 week we had an all-time great passing against the Bears, and then in this week we had an all-time great running against the Bears, which is phenomenal to think about, that all the time basically in between those two games, the Packers have been generally out of sorts, with a few games, you know, thrown in where we played well. But we always have this to hold on to, that we can crush the Bears in either way.
As Packer fans like to say, the Bears still suck. Oh, they played pretty well yesterday. But so, yeah. Let's get into grades, Andy. And I think overall for this game, I'm going to give the Packers a B. Defense gave up a lot of big plays. I mean, I guess I'll give the offense a B and the defense a C. You know, defense let them get back into the game. Game should have been over in the third quarter. Didn't end up being over. Bears got back into it. But again, they did enough to win. So overall, I'm giving them a B for this game.
I'm going to give them a B minus, and actually particulars, I'm going to give C plus defense and actually C plus to offense. I think because they won the game, it pushes them to a B minus. But I mean, one play doesn't go their way. They go into overtime, you know, something happens and they lose the game. I think is easily an outcome of this game. Defense, like you said, in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden didn't know how to cover basic patterns, especially if they're run by Alshon Jeffrey, who was coming back from a four-game suspension. just for some reason couldn't stop that. I think he ran the same slant route, it felt like, four plays in a row, and every time he was open across the middle. Sorry, a little tangent there. And the offense, like I said, I obviously they're very hurt by Aaron Rodgers not having that ability, but who knows if he's going to get that back this season. And so we got to learn how to work right within those parameters. And it didn't seem like they figured that out. So C plus is across the board. Again, I bumped them up to a B level because they got the win. I'm happy. I'm not pessimistic about this. You know, you do what you have to do to win football games, and we've won four now in a row and are right in the thick of the playoff hunt. Should we talk about unsung heroes?
One thing I do want to point out is if you haven't seen the field goal that Crosby made in the first half, you should go back and watch that because it was an ugly – it looked like it got partially blocked, but it didn't, and it somehow still got – you know, made it in. And at the time, we're like, oh, that's fine. You know, at least we tied the game again. But, you know, if he misses that, you know, that Bears field goal at the end is a winning field goal, and the Packers – if the game plays out exactly like it did, you know, the Packers are tying the game going to overtime. And who knows what would have happened. But that field goal ended up being bigger than we thought. Unsung heroes. My unsung hero is actually going to be Jared Cook. He had six catches for 85 yards. Game. Definitely had a presence in this game. Probably his second best game after the game he had against the Eagles, which, of course, was in a losing – or I'm sorry, against Washington, which was against in a losing effort. Like I said, he had two huge third down conversions on that first drive. I mean, if we don't get those and we punt, could be a totally different ball game. So he's my unsung hero for this week.
Unsung hero. This is tough for me. Nothing immediately jumps to mind as an unsung hero. Well, this name jumped up, and this is kind of how I've been giving unsung heroes all year, so I'll go with it. And I'm going to give it to HaHa, not because he's unsung. Obviously, he had two interceptions. People are going to sing about him a lot. But, again, going back to in the times where the Packers have been down this year, the secondary gets a lot of heat. We talked about the cornerbacks. Randall, I think I gave my unsung hero to last week or 2 weeks ago. But the safeties are part of that, too. And HaHa's played, I think, pretty good all year, but he's kind of been the guy who's the head of a unit that is getting crushed. And so he's getting a lot of the heat. So I think he deserves a little more attention this week. I think both catches were great. Devontae Adams would have dropped both those interceptions. So I'm going to give HaHa Clinton Dix my unsung, even though he's kind of sung, hero of the week. Maybe that's what we should call my side of this. You get the actual unsung. I'll be the unsung, although he's kind of sung
hero.
I like that. Hero of the week.
All right. Well, after that, you know, thrilling victory over the Bears, we move on and let's talk about the NFC North Watch.
I came in pretty quiet there.
So the Lions, the team in front of us, lost to the Giants yesterday 17-6. They dropped down to 9-5, and now they have to play the other good team in the NFC East, the Cowboys, next week on Monday Night Football. The Vikings, as we mentioned before, got crushed by the Colts at home. I mean, who does
dominated
that? The Colts at home? No team that I know.
By the what did you call sneaky the Colts? Bad. Surprisingly
well, I guess,
bad.
I guess they're sneaky bad. Good at that was times it too. But like I said, I mean, who loses to the Colts at home? You know, no team that we root for. That's what I know. But so the Vikings drop down to 7-7. They're now in third place in the division and play at Lambeau next week, which we'll talk about in a second. And of course, the Bears lost to the Packers 30-27. They drop down to 3-11, and they play at home versus Washington next week. So taking a quick look at the playoff picture, Packers are now the eighth seed in the prospective playoff chase, which is better than last week when they were the ninth seed. But really, the big thing, Andy, that we take away from this playoff picture this week is that with this win and with the Lions losing and the Vikings losing, the Packers now control their own destiny. And for those of you listeners who don't know what that means, basically it means that the Packers win out, they will make the playoffs, they will win the NFC North, and they will host a playoff game during wildcard weekend. So definitely a, you know, far cry from where we were just 1 month ago when the Packers, you know, again, lost to the Redskins and fell to 4-6, and everything was very dire.
I thought it was over. I think I said that, actually.
You know, we had every reason to think it was over. The team was not playing well. Montgomery had not emerged. You know, we didn't have really a semblance of anything working on either side of the ball. But all we have to do is beat the Vikings and then beat the Lions in Detroit, which is definitely going to be a tough game. It's going to be for the division. As long as...
Right, we should say the reason that the Packers are in control, you might say, well, Detroit is still ahead of them one game. The reason is because we play Detroit that final week, and we have the tiebreaker if we beat them because we beat them the earlier game in the year. So the tiebreaker would first be interdivision record, since we would have beat them twice in this scenario, right, would win the division.
Tiebreaker is head-to-head. So since we would be 2-0 against Detroit, that's if we ended up tied, we would take the lead over them. So, so Packers control their own destiny. All we have to do is win the last two games. Dudes have to win out, and they will win the division and make the playoffs for the 8th season in a row. So let's hope that happens. Starting next week with the Minnesota Vikings, who, after starting 5-0, Andy, have now gone 2-7 over their last 9 games. Really fallen off a cliff. I mean, we were talking about a little bit before. They were the last undefeated team in the league this season, and now they are solidly .500. Their playoff aspirations are not great at this point in time. And
they'll be fighting for their lives. I mean, that's a negative way of looking at this from a Packer perspective, is they are playing
with all the desperation, or at least they should be. I'm not even sure if they're they're right behind the Packers in terms of playoff seeding. So I don't think they've been eliminated yet. They still have a chance to get in, but I mean, they basically have to win and get lots of help.
By the way, I was just going to add, before we get too far away from playoff scenarios, there is a chance that the Packers could still get a 2 seed if they win out. A lot of things would have to happen in the NFC, but just keep that in mind, that there is a possibility that there's at least a game in Lambeau for sure, but also that we even get a 2 seed. That's mathematically possible, and even if you look at the schedules, it's a true possibility. So the Packers have a lot to play for, even more than just obviously their playoff lives, but potentially setting themselves up for a great run at the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's still possible, folks.
You know, obviously that means that they have a first round bye, which, given the state of the team with injuries, especially with Aaron Rodgers, that would be absolutely huge. I mean, that would be...
Give those Aaron Rodgers legs an extra week and a half.
Yeah, you can't
huge.
Put a price on what that would do for the team. So,
we do need help for that. We're not in control of that. We need a few teams, especially
the
Giants, to start losing. But
I would think for that to happen. But who knows? Maybe we'll get there. I guess the Falcons probably have to lose out too. But hey, stranger things have happened. You never know. So let's talk about the Vikings here. So the Vikings. Really a tale of two teams. Basically, they have a very good defense. They're 3rd overall in yards allowed, 3rd against the pass, only 18th against the rush, so below average there, but 6th in points allowed. And then there's their offense, or lack thereof, where they're 31st overall in offense, 21st in passing yards, 32nd in rushing yards, 25th in points scored. As someone on my Facebook, one of my Facebook friends noted a couple weeks ago, the Vikings have a championship-level defense and a peewee football-level offense, which seems to bear out in these stats that they have. They did get Adrian...
Very true. Although, we should say, teams have won the Super Bowl with that formula. I mean, I think of the Bucks way back when, in the Warren Sapp years. They did not have a good offense, but they had a great defense. Now, obviously, this offense is... a garbage fire at times, but I mean,
right.
They can win any
game
with that.
Well, I think the most
formula.
Obvious example is the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, who somehow managed to win a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer as their starting quarterback. So,
first quarterback to ever,
probably
the Super Bowl.
They had probably one of the greatest defenses of all time on that team. They did score 34 points in the Super Bowl, but that's neither here nor there. So the Vikings. Really good defense, really bad offense. Did they get Adrian Peterson back, who had not played since playing the Packers in Week 2, tore his meniscus in his right knee, came back. The Vikings got down early, like we said, with the last 34-6, so I don't really know how many carries they were able to give him, but he had 22 yards on 6 carries, so did not look like his normal self. But again, I feel like they got down in the hole so quick, they had to abandon the run game pretty early. So it'll be interesting to see how he rebounds, if he rebounds, this next week against Green Bay. Sam Bradford is 20th in passing yards in the league this year. He has 14 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, so not many mistakes, but not many. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers has 32 touchdown passes this year, so not many touchdowns through the air for Minnesota. Yesterday, the best receiving threat they had was actually their tight end, Kyle Rudolph, who is a Pro Bowl player and was actually the Pro Bowl MVP, I think, 4 years ago. So he had kind of had a little reemergence yesterday. Had it probably the best game of his season.
Right, and the nervous thing about that is the Packers, yesterday, their big problem in the fourth quarter was was in the middle part of the field. And that's right, where tight ends normally operate. So that's a nervy,
right, that's a nervy thing to look at. Operates. Again, I'll be interested to see if they, you know, it seems like Micah Hyde is kind of our designated tight end cover guy. So I don't know if they'll, you know, again, try to double him or put a linebacker in front of him and a safety over the top, or it'll be interesting to see how they decide to cover him. But something to be concerned about, Stephon Diggs, who, as we all know, torched the Packers last time we played them. Although he is slightly banged up, so he may not be as explosive as he was earlier in the year. So we'll have to watch that as well. Hopefully they can keep him under wraps. But really, a lot of the points I have to make about this game, man, you're the same as last week in that, you know, we can't, obviously, like we said, the Packers shouldn't overlook this game for any reason. They have so much to play for still. Like we said, we control our destiny. We can get in if we win 2 games. There's still a chance we can get a bye week. There's every reason for the Packers to play hard, but still, don't underestimate the Vikings, even though they just lost to the Colts, who have been middling. I mean, we should know we lost to them too at home, although it wasn't nearly as bad as 3-4-6.
How bad does that game look, though? If we had won that game, how different? Okay, right. We can't think about that, but that one still really is a bee in my bonnet.
And, you know, if it turns out the Packers don't make the postseason or, you know, don't get that 2 seed, you can definitely look back at that Colts game and say that was the one that they should have won and didn't. But yeah, I think they can underestimate the Vikings, even with, you know, I mean, Adrian Peterson's back. He has had some of the best games of his career against the Packers, also some of the worst. But there's a chance that he could, you know, he is proven to be a fast healer. He could have a big game if they take him lightly. You know, they can't look ahead to Detroit. I think the big thing is, you know, make sure AP doesn't have a rebound game. You know, keep Kyle Rudolph and Stephon Diggs under wraps. And, you know, again, make Bradford, who, again, doesn't have a lot of touchdown passes, make him try to throw the ball and beat us that way. I know that was how they beat us week 2 through with Bradford, but I think that Vikings team back then is much different than the team we're playing now. And again, they're only 18th against the rush on defense. So if Montgomery can do, gosh, half of what he did against the Bears, against the Vikings, I think the Packers will be in good shape.
That's true. Although if he does half of what he did, you know, every game against the Bears, he'll be one of the best running backs in the history of the NFL. So, I mean, like, we can't expect that every week. But I get what you're saying is that if we can get that ground game going,
right,
that's going to be strong.
They're third against the pass. You know, they had a big interception in the game in week 2 that kind of slid up for their win over us in week 2. So it'll be interesting to see how Rodgers and the receivers work. You know, I don't know if they're going to have problems getting open again. It's, you know, and this will be at Lambeau, not at the brand new stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium. Again, I think the forecast is going to be in the high 20s, low 30s. So more
balmy for the Packers after last week.
It should be right around the temperature it was for the Seahawks game. And
maybe Devontae Adams can catch touchdown pass.
But it should be, you know, they should have to be a little more explosive, or, you know, I mean, they had an explosive passing game in that day against the Seahawks. So, you know, they might be able to do the same thing against the Vikings, who, again, will be scrappy. Will be, you know, again, it's another division game. It's division games for the rest of the year. They'll be, you know, they'll want to win, if for no other reason than to, you know, snuff out the Packers' playoff hopes. So, you know, don't sleep on this Vikings team. Just like the Bears, is what I'm saying.
Having said that, my prediction of this game is that the Bears are going to crush them, or that the Packers are going to crush them. I think these Vikings are pretty much dead. And I think at Lambeau Field, in that environment, with the Packers on the roll that they are, I think the Packers are going to come out strong, score on that first drive. The defense is going to stand up. Adrian Peterson is rusty. And it's just going to be one of those you know, rocks that start into an avalanche. I think it's going to get away from the Vikings. I think the Packers come away with this with a big victory. Despite everything you just said, I realize I'm going against it, but that's what I think. Big victory for the Packers.
Prediction for that big victory?
35-10.
Wow.
One of these weeks, I'm going to predict a blowout, and it's going to happen. It's going to be
Yeah, I think the Packers win this game. Like I said, they have all the motivation. I think they're, again, confidence is really high. They're on a four-game win streak. They've beat, you know, a good Seahawks team. They beat a scrappy Bears team on the road, even if it came down to the last, you know, drive when it really shouldn't have. I think, you know, it's their last home game of the year, unless they make the playoffs. So they're, you know, they want to put a good show in front of the hometown crowd. I'm going to say the Packers win this game 24-13.
I have an interesting question, actually, before we go anywhere here. How actually, because we've talked about how this game is important. It is. But in another sense, I want to ask, how important is this game? Even if they lose this game, they go into the next week, and I think the Lions are still within shouting distance, well, right?
If the Packers were to lose, they would drop to 8-7. Now, if the Lions win, they go.
So if the Lions win, they will take the division. But if they lose, we're in the same scenario as we were before, and they're playing Washington, I think, at home.
No, they're playing
the Cowboys in in Dallas.
So if we lose and the Lions lose, everything's fine. If we lose and then Detroit wins, Detroit will win the division. I don't know. It would depend on what Tampa Bay and the Falcons and the Redskins do.
Yeah, so we'd still have a shot. So, I mean, like, obviously it's important. I just think it bears saying that the Packers are no longer in a life or death situation. They've kind of fought their way back into true playoff contention. I mean, they're the seventh seed right now. They're the first one looking out. So obviously I don't want them to lose. I don't think they will lose. But it might be worth saying going into this game, know exactly where Green Bay is.
So yeah, it's not a life or death, but again, just the fact that we got to this point where we can now control our own destiny by winning out and getting in. I feel like after where we were a month ago, I feel like that's all the motivation. Yep.
You're 4-6. 4-6, dead in the water. They were talking about McCarthy getting fired.
I think that's all you need to know in order to, you know, if you can't get your self-rating for this game, I don't know what to tell you. So
that's injuries are real things. They really affect teams.
Yep.
We're seeing it. And, I mean, many an analyst have said this. No one wants to play a Packer team that is even 80% healthy in the playoffs.
And they've shown it. They've won 4 in a row. They're dangerous. So who knows? We'll have to wait and see on Sunday. It should be a good time. Of course, we should note this game is actually on Saturday, faithful listeners. It's not on Sunday because Sunday is, of course, Christmas Day. So Saturday is Christmas Eve. So the majority of games will be taking place on Saturday. Kind of strange, I know, but that's kind
really?
Of
really,
yeah.
I didn't know that. What, do they do that when Christmas is on Sunday? Is that a thing they've done before?
You know, I'm not sure. It hasn't happened all that often, but yeah. So there's a Thursday game, of course, and then most of the games are taking place on Saturday, and then Sunday there are two games: Ravens and Steelers, and Broncos and Chiefs. And then Monday there's still a Monday night game, of course, Lions and Cowboys, which we talked about. So, yeah. So the Packers are playing at noon on Saturday against Minnesota.
That's so weird. That's a soccer schedule, really. That's how soccer normally runs. Most of the games on Saturday, one kind of on a Thursday or Friday, a couple big marquee Sundays, and then one big Monday game. Sorry, I'm sure no one cares about that. But that's interesting looking at it, that they're doing that.
I don't know. Maybe it's a chance for most of the players to, you know, be home with their families on Christmas, or, you know, at least have Christmas off. Of course, then there's the fourth.
Then there's sentimental hogwash.
So they might be, you know, upset about that. But that's how the schedule fell. So that's what they get to do. But I think that'll about do it here from us. Andy's actually he's going to California in a couple hours here. So.
Escaping this forsaken wilderness.
Right. So
where it's under zero, you realize, okay, so a scientist came up with a way to measure temperature, and this, where I'm living currently, is underneath what he thought garnered zero. I mean, think about that for a minute, okay? Why do I live here? Why does anyone live here? Why are we here? There's southern places. There's lots of land to the south where it does not get this.
Yeah, but there's other issues with such areas. So it kind of depends on what you're willing to put up with, I suppose. So, but so yeah, folks.
What?
Oh, sorry. Nothing. Never mind. So yeah. Like we always say, you know, if you like this podcast and you're listening all the way through here, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We post news stories and live tweeting. Again, I didn't live tweet quite as much because I was, you know, trying to be present at the gathering I was at. But I'll, you know, definitely drop some tweets next week during the Vikings game. You can email us at packersinlaw@gmail.com. You know, rate us and review us on iTunes. That really is a boon for us in terms of getting up the podcast charts. And, yeah, if we, you know, we'll try to do an episode after Christmas sometime. Have a happy holiday season. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Smith?
Rogue One was good, not great. I don't think it's at all good, as good as the original trilogy. I don't think it's close either to Force Awakens, but really fun, good Star Wars movie, obviously better than the prequels. Had to get that off my chest.
Oh, that's good. And, you know, you did open with that, so way to come full circle, bring it all together.
Beautiful, yes. Beautiful bookmark so, right there.
Once again, I am Jake Speckard, the Packer veteran, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Merry Christmas, everybody.